the Shus Marina, Rav Shlita. When I was at the tender age of 12, preparing for my Bar Mitzvah in the North Hendon Hadas, although this building wasn't up yet, I was reminded of three things to do when I would have my Bar Mitzvah on Parshas Yisro. One was that I have to sing in the Tam Ha'Elyon. There are two ways of singing the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments. One way is where each Dibor, each one of the commandments, is like one Pasuk, either a very long Pasuk or a very short Pasuk. I mean, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tignov are two words, and they're treated like one Pasuk each. And Tam HaTachton is the what's called the lower way of singing, which is when you read it to yourself, you read with separate Pasukim. The other thing I was told is that you have to pause for a few seconds to wait for everybody to stand up. Stand up for the Aseres HaDibros. Why? Well, everybody does it. And the other thing which I remember Mr. Katzenberg, the Chonin Rocha, told me to do was end off each dibble with a little warble, a bit chazonish-like, to give it some speciality. But to stand up for the Aseres HaDibros, well, of course, I'm not going to argue with a gubber, am I? Especially when it comes to my Bar Mitzvah. You know what happens when you argue with a gubber? You get hugba for a heavy sefer. Anyway, so what is the special thing? All right, say the Ten Commandments, a very special thing, obviously. We put it over the Aron HaKodesh, we put it on the Paroches. But is it as simple and as straightforward as that? Because the Rambam in his Teshuvas in Siman Mem Vov was asked a question about this very custom of standing up when the Aseres HaDibros are read, and he said one is not allowed to do such a thing. So that's the tshuva of the Rambam. Why did the Rambam say this? He was asked about the tendency already in Bovel of people standing up for the Aseres HaDibros. And he said, there's a problem here. People will start to think that some parts of the Torah are more important than other parts. And this is very bad. He says it will affect people's emunah, because if people only think that the Ten Commandments is what the Torah is, then they will not be correctly believing in what the Torah is. So you'll ask, well, why are we all standing up for the Aseres HaDibros? Everybody does it. All right, there is a preliminary question about standing up in any case for Kriyas HaTorah. The Beis Yosef discusses this in detail in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah in Siman Kuf Mem Aleph, where the Torah writes, Tzorich Likros Me'umod, that the Baal Torah who reads from the Sefer Torah has to read when he's standing. Because we learn out from Megillah, HaKoris HaMegillah, Yoshev Yotza. If one sits when reading the Megillah Esther, that's okay. But for Kriyas HaTorah, the person who's reading has to stand up. And from there comes the discussion about everybody else, that there is a custom for some to stand up because we stood up at Har Sinai when we received the Torah. But generally speaking, one is allowed to sit. Indeed, according to the Ari HaKadosh, Al Pi HaNista, it's better to sit than to stand when you hear the Kriyas HaTorah. And if that is the case, why is it that people are standing up for the Aseres HaDibros? This question was addressed by a Bar Mitzvah boy recently by the name of Daniel Wormser, who gave his drosha on this very subject, and today's shiur is an amplification of that drosha. Oh, we won't discuss that now. So, apart from singling out the Aseres HaDibros, in fact, Daniel Wormser's Bar Mitzvah was Parshas Peshalach, and he asked this question also in connection with the Shiro, because we stand for the Shiro as well. It is, in fact, the custom to stand also when we're finishing off one of the five Sforim. When we say Chazak, 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 we stand up, bringing things to a climax. But the main emphasis in today's question is on the Aseres HaDibros. The Rambam bases his psak on a Gemara in Berachos, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where Chazal wanted to include in the davening the Aseres HaDibros. That in the bracha just before the Shema, Abba Solom or Abba Rabbo, the bracha which is talking about Lilma Dulalameid Lishma Velasa Sulakayim, within that bracha, Chazal wanted to institute that we say the Aseres HaDibros. And they decided not to. They banned the idea. Why? Tarumas Haminim. because people who are abikosim will say, ah, this is what the Torah is, the Ten Commandments. I was once sitting with a friend of mine in a Hamisha family on a Shabbos lunch, and we came on to the subject of Emunah and what people should believe in, what some people don't believe in, and he had an aunt there who had a rather weak background and said, I believe in the Ten Commandments. You know, very nice, as if it's some merit. But by people saying, I believe in the Ten Commandments, it's as if to say that they are excluding other things. You have to not just believe in the Ten Commandments. There are 613 commandments. You have to believe in Shatnas. You have to believe in Taras HaMishpocha. You have to believe in Tzitzis and Tefillin and lots of things which are not in the Ten Commandments. So Rashi on that Gemara in Brachas says, Shalo Yomru Amei Ha'aretz Ein She'er HaTorah Emes. That the ignorant people should not say that the rest of the Torah is not Emes. And therefore, it is wrong to single out the Aseret HaDibros. And there's Yerushalmi in Brachas, in Perek Aleph Halacha Hei, that the Abikosim will say that's all that was given at Har Sinai, nothing else. Things were added later, Chas V'Shalom. And we want to make sure that this misconception is killed from the start. And therefore, the Rambam says we do not stand up when the Aseret HaDibros are being read. The Rashba in his Shuvas in Chelek Aleph Kuf Pei Dalot says that the custom of saying Aseret HaDibros in the davening, which was banned, and he says it's osur, it is absolutely forbidden to say the Aseret HaDibros in the davening. You do find in some Sidurim where it's shown at the end of the Shacharis, and that there is a custom of many to say it after Shacharis, but that is when it's recited by an individual and not as a tzibur. So the Torah, in fact, questions the Rashba, because in Siman Aleph, at the very beginning of Archaim, talks about the custom to say the Aseret HaDibros every single day. And the Beis Yosef challenges this. So he says it's all right for an individual, but we do not read the Aseret HaDibros as a tzibur, unless, of course, it's part of the Kriyas HaTorah when we're reading the Torah. And the Taz brings down that Rav Chaim Vital, who was a Talmud of the Ari HaKadosh, was told off by the Ari HaKadosh for saying the Aseret HaDibros every day, as if to single it out as something special. It's probably from the Christians where we got this phrase, the Ten Commandments, because it's really a Ten Commandments. It's part and parcel of the Torah itself. Nevertheless, we do give it great prominence. And Meinian and Mosainian on the same subject, but in a different dimension. The Mogen Avraham writes in Siman Aleph, Sifkot and Tes, about the custom of putting the Ten Commandments on top of the Aron HaKodesh, on a plaque, which is what we have in this shul and what we have in many, many shuls. And he calls for that custom to be abolished. And we have it in this shul on the Poroches and on a plaque on top of the Aron HaKodesh. So you can't get a more better emphasis than that. And Mogen Avraham condemns this. So the Mukatsha Rebbe, Rav Chaim Elozer Shpira, he brought down that you may have something showing the Aseret HaDibros, but not on the Aron HaKodesh itself. So how do we explain this? The Ein Lichter Aseret HaDibros Al Kuntras Miyuchad Letzibur, says the Mogen Avraham. And he brings the Tshuvas Teshuras Shai, or Rav Shlomo Yudalev Tabak, Im Lichtov Bekosel Beisak Meses, whether you're allowed to have it inscribed on any wall, apart from the Aron HaKodesh.
We haven't got the whole of the offenses.
Ah, the question is, even if you've just got Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, which some do because of lack of space. And so, although we do have an abbreviated form, Onochi, or Zohar, or Kabeid, that in itself is to give prominence to the Aseret HaDibros, and the Mogen Avraham calls for the custom to be abolished. And there's another source, Rav Svi Hirsch of the Baal Darkei Teshuvah. He says, Shelo Lahamid Aron HaKodesh, not to put it on the Aron HaKodesh, nor on any wall in the shul whatsoever. So there you have it, a custom which is pronounced to be forbidden, and yet it's not just our shul who does it, most shuls have it. And even the Jewish Tribune newspaper puts it on their front page every week. So, respectable Kehillahs, is it the wrong idea? And in Marble Arch Synagogue, they've got some very beautiful stained glass windows down in the Beis HaMedrash. They've got there a most beautiful stained glass window showing the Ten Commandments. And underneath is the caption, "The Ten Commandments, given by Everard Goodman of Jerusalem." And if we are alluding to the customs of the Christians who magnify the importance of the Ten Commandments, well, the Christians, they don't keep the Ten Commandments in any case. They delete the second one because it's not convenient for them, so then they split the tenth one to make it up to ten, and of course they don't know what the seventh day of the week is.
They shouldn't have them up for Shabbos anyway. It wasn't commanded.
Yeah. Well, yes, Shabbos is only commanded to us. But in any case, they've changed the day of the week, and so they're never keeping Shabbos if they assume that they're keeping it on the first day, not to assess now what the definition of malacha is anyway. But that's another subject which can be dealt with any other time, but they don't keep the Ten Commandments. The Minag Yisrael quotes the Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller, the Tosfos Yom Tov, who says one should rebuke communities which put the Ten Commandments above the Oren HaKodesh. So there you have it. Rav Aaron Levine, the Rav of Sambo, he was killed by the Nazis, Yirach Shimon. In his Sefer Birchas Aaron, he said, "I'm amazed at the number of shuls which decorate the Aron HaKodesh with the Ten Commandments and with the Luchos. Why do we depart from the Magen Avraham? And even if it's abbreviated," and he says, "even if it's just Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, everybody knows what that's standing for. It's an abbreviated form. That's not okay." Rav Noson Notarlando, the Rav of Ushbachin, in his Sefer Kama HaShachar, he writes, "Osu Lahamid Luchos Shel Aseres Adibros Al Bote Kinesios," even if it's only the Aleph base. So there you have it. And the Shutz Meshiv Devarim says something similar in Yeredei Simon Reish Kaf Hei. He was from Munkach, Rav Gershon Rosenbaum. So how do we justify this? All right, you can say to me, "Aseres Adibros, it's got 620 letters in it, symbolizing the 613 commandments and the seven mitzvahs to Rabbanon, and 620 is the gematria of Keser, Keser Torah, and we often write the word Keser Torah on the paroches. It includes the whole Torah, really, and the Shulchan Aruch Kodesh says in Yisro that the Aseret HaDibros encompasses the whole Torah kula." And what does he mean by that? And the Abarbanel explains, and the Abarbanel goes through every single one of the 613 mitzvahs to show how they all come within various headings of the Aseret HaDibros, as if to say that each one of the Ten Commandments has subheadings of all the other mitzvahs, 613 in total. So there's something very prominent here. Nevertheless, we find that we have here a custom which is widespread in Klal Yisrael, both the standing up for the Aseres HaDibros and also the idea of having a plaque with the Aseres HaDibros. How do we explain it? There is an idea about when a custom might be a faulty custom, but we nevertheless accept it. There is, in fact, even an expression in the Gemara Yerushalmi on two occasions that it's possible for a minhag to be mevatel a halacha, that a custom can be so strong in its source that it may even override a din. How can this be? Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can make up a custom. I can make up a custom and say, right, this
ancient custom.
Right, okay, an ancient custom. The Sei Chemed writes, he writes 16 pages on the subject of whether a minhag can be mevatel a halacha, and he says you do have to be careful. Minhag, custom, has the same letters in its word as the word gehinnom. So one has to be careful. When a minhag can be over okay halacha? The Gemara Shami talks about a case in chalitza, with a type of shoe which is used for the mitzvah of chalitza, and it became the custom for a certain kind of slipper to be used. And when the Mashiach comes, we will be told that we're not allowed to use it. So the Gemara says, minhag okay halacha. It's become such an age-old established custom that this is allowed to continue. There are also various things in Dine Momonos, which the Gemara Yerushalmi talks about, where a minag might be mavatel halacha on the custom of the place to do with paying workers on time and that kind of thing. But apart from that, when can a minag be mavatel halacha? I was once in a certain shul in the provinces where I was there for Maariv on Motzei Shabbos, and I noticed that they were starting Maariv rather early, well before the Zman. all right. You can already
double.
All right.
It says
okay. Yeah. After plug a mincha, one can double marim. So the rov of the shul is saying it's okay. Okay, you've got to make sure that you're not doing malacha until now. And so this shul was starting marim early, and I went up to the rabbi of the congregation, and I asked him, why is it that you're starting marim early? And he said, that's how minhag, that's how custom. And as soon as Maariv was over, there were already cars outside, or maybe he's waiting to pick up their husbands. So I said to the Rav, yeah, but, you know, they're leaving their house before Shabbos is over to drive their cars to shul to pick up their husbands just when Maariv finishes, which is at the Zaman. He said, look, this is our minhag, that's our custom. I mean... The wrong word. The Rivash in Siman Mem Gimel talks about a custom which happened in a place in Algeria called Souk Aharas, where on the 8th day of Pesach, people were going out on picnics and they were eating chometz on these picnics on the 8th day of Pesach. And when they were asked about it, they said, that's our custom. So he looked into it to decide, why is it the people are doing this? And they realized that there were Israelis who were coming to the area for a short period of time. And so these Israelis, of course, only kept 7 days until and not the 8th day. And they didn't want people to see them eating chometz on the 8th day. So they thought they'll go outside the town and have a picnic somewhere in the countryside where they thought nobody could see them. And they will have chometz at their picnics. And others saw this and they thought, oh, what a beautiful custom. We can do the same thing. So obviously a minhag like that cannot be mevatel a halacha. But there are occasions when a minhag is so strong that it's even called nezer. One example is if the Chasam Sofer in Yeredekov Zayin talks about is Cholav Yisrael, that Cholav Yisrael became a minhag Yisrael, and therefore because of nezer we took it upon ourselves that it's got a din d'oraisa, he says. Then there is another custom in this shul. We say Kiddush in shul on Friday night. The chazan says Kiddush. And the Tur writes about this custom and he says it should be abolished. It's not right that you make Kiddush in shul, because originally people used to be in the shul for Shabbos to sleep there. So they were eating there. So of course you make Kiddush in the shul, and that was to make them yotzah for when they eat. But nowadays people are not sleeping in the shul. Well, I don't know about this shul, but, but I know that there's one shul in Golders Green.
Tuesday night.
Oh, I was told that the beauty of an Omad Yomi shir rather than a Daf Yomi is you don't have to wake up in the middle to turn over the page. Well, so the custom of saying Kiddush and Shul on Friday night, does one do it or doesn't one do it? Alright, it's a Minhag Yisrael, it's been going on for many years, so we carry it on. The Bach says that, and the Rashba writes as well, that there are still good reasons why we carry on this custom of saying Kiddush and Shul on Friday night. The Rashba talks about the merit of Kiddush benefiting people's eyesight, something mystical about one's eyesight being affected from Pesiyah of Gassa, from running, which you get back from Kiddush on Friday night, seeing wine, tasting wine, there's something mystical about it. But the Bach says that there are certain people who will go home after Shul and they don't know how to make Kiddush. And so when they come to shul and hear the chazan saying it, then they will be yotzei kiddush. And it's important. Right, so why is it that the Torah says it should be abolished? Because there's a din, ein kiddush b'mokrim suda. You don't make kiddush unless you're in the place of eating. So when people were sleeping in the shul, okay, they were eating in the shul, so the kiddush was in the place of a meal. But nowadays it's not in the place of a meal. The Bach says, even though we have a din of Ein Kiddush Ela B'Mokum Seuda, nevertheless, because there will be people who don't know how to make Kiddush at home, therefore they will be yotzer from hearing the chazan saying it in shul. So the minhag carries on. Alright, so there are certain times when a minhag, okay, halacha, we once discussed the subject of mittel on the 25th of December, or some will say the 6th of January, there is a custom to stop learning. We don't want to help an Ashoma of Osei Roshna. So how can we stop learning Torah? Torah makes the world go round. If Torah is making the world go round, how can you stop learning Torah? And there is a minhag which seems quite clearly to go against the halacha. You have to learn Torah by day and by night. So how can you say, right, we stop learning Torah? Rav Yonasan Eibshitz was once asked this question, and he answered, Minag Yisrael, Torah. A Minag Yisrael is Torah. Therefore, since you are keeping the custom of not learning on that night, that is Torah, and that is what makes the world go round. Quite a chiddush. There are lots of other examples. I mean, people sometimes moan about having to say lots of yotzros in the davening when there are certain additions, the Arbia Parshias or other times, and the Ramah defends the minag, even though it might be regarded as interrupting the davening. In Orach Chaim Simon Samaches, he says, we keep up the custom to carry on our traditions of saying the extra yotzros. The minag of Kaporos, on Erev Yom Kippur, where people take a chicken and do whatever they do with it, the Shulchan Aruch itself criticizes the custom. Somebody called Yitzchak Heitner in Golders Green has the first edition of the Shulchan Aruch, the very first edition, and there the wording is even more strong. It seems to have been changed, where he calls the Kaparas Darkei Omori, it's the way of idolaters, and it's a Minak Shtus that one should stop it completely. But so many people do it, it carries on. We should say a pasuk with Hashem's name in it completely. When we finish off the Shema in our davening, we say Hashem Elokeichem Emes, we say it as part of our Shema, but the Chazan repeats those words in order to make it up to 248, which he didn't say Kel Melech Ne'eman. But the pasuk isn't Hashem Elokeichem Emes, it's Hashem Elokim Emes. And there you have a custom, an age-old custom, which is going against the din. I remember once discussing with Rav Cooper Zatzal that on Rosh Chodesh, when Shabbos falls on Rosh Chodesh, it's not our custom to say the words Kadoshenu b'mitzvosecho v'seichokeinu b'sarosecho in the Musaf Sabeinu mitzvecho, etc. V'tali beinu b'cho b'mes v'anchilin v'ashem l'keinu v'avros v'avros kodshecho v'onuchu v'o yisro v'kadshei shumecho. Quite a big batch. We don't have it in our Siddur. You do find it in Nusach Svad Sforim. You do find it in Sidurim of Nusach Ari. Recently, some art scrolls have come out where it's put in brackets. But that's only in the last 3 or 4 years or so. And I remember discussing it with Rav Cooper, and he said, we don't know what the reasons were of our forefathers when something is handed down to us. It's not for us to start chopping and changing and moving things in our Siddur because we think something is wrong. I showed him the Aruch HaShulchan, who says that although many communities don't say it, we should say it. And it's a mistake of the printers. And Rabbi Cooper said, it's not for us to start chopping and changing because it leads to a slippery slope when people will come along and start saying, all right, let's start changing other things. So it's not for us to change. And then there's a custom when we have Hagbah, Vezos HaTorah, Shesom Moshe Livnei B'nei Yisrael, and then we say, Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe. Al Pi Hashem B'Yad Moshe is only half a posuk. You're supposed to say a full posuk. So the Baruch Shema writes in his Sefer Rav Epstein, you should complete the pasuk. So there you've got minhagim which are very prevalent and yet which seem apparently to be going against the din. I mean, one example is on Purim when we're banging for Haman. I mean, if you walk in the street and somebody says to you the name Hitler Yirach Shemo, do you start banging your feet and shouting and banging your fists? No, but there is a custom which developed from writing the name Haman underneath a shoe, and they would bang the shoe, and that's how it developed. And the Ramah says this is certainly a weird custom, but he says De'im nimtzo haminag be'ezer posek. But if you do find a custom brought down, even if it's just one source, ein levatlo, you do not do away with it. Afilu b'shas hadachak ein l'shanos minag, you do not change the custom. And he says, where we say minag, okay, alocha hainu afilu rov deos throwale luhu osor. Even if most opinions say it is forbidden, provided you have a source, it's okay. V'dafka minag shenis yased al pi vasikit. But it has to be a custom which is a very age-old custom from times immemorial. Mordechai, I will minak she'ein lo ra'i min haTorah, but something which you have no proof for whatsoever from the Torah, ein ela ketoe b'shukol hadas, is purely a mistake. So there you have it. We come back to our whole idea of standing for the Aseret HaDibros, an age-old custom. And we had, of course, this thing about the plaque for the Aseret HaDibros, and this all bunches together in how to understand the concept of a Minag Yisrael. And there are prominent views, however, who say that one should sit for the Aseret HaDibros. Rabbi Avadi Yosef writes in Yechaveh Das, in Chelek Aleph Siman Chavtes, that one should follow the psak of the Rambam and sit during the Aseres HaDibros. However, if the whole shul stands up, then he says it's best if you don't depart from the custom of the shul, so you stand up a bit earlier. And that he talks about in Chelek Vav Siman Ches, that you won't then give just special treatment to the Ten Commandments, but you'll stand up a bit earlier for other bits as well. The Sefer Teldos Irkovna says that the Av Beis Din Gaon Rav Leibel abolished the custom to stand up. He said, from now on, nobody's going to stand up for the Ten Commandments. We're all going to sit. And I understand that Rav Eliashiv, Zatzal, he sat during the Aseres HaDibros. The Rivash writes in Perek Mem Gimel that if the custom is not in accordance with Takonos Chachomim, then it's Osur. But we are dealing here with something which is in accordance with Takonos Chachomim. And standing is Kovod LaTorah. Rav Shmuel Abohab writes, he says it's alright to stand up, as we always do. He writes in Devar Shmuel Siman Reish Ayin Vav that it's different to the Gemara in Brachos, which wanted to abolish the Ten Commandments in the actual davening. Here he says it's a hiddur, we're reenacting Mamad Har Sinai. He talks about Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Beis about Kiddush Levona. We stand when we do Kiddush Levona every month, and he says it's the Hakvil Panei of the Shema Shemaim. It's to receive the Shechina of our Father in Heaven, and it says to Kavod HaShechina, says Rashi. And so it's only in the Shema, the Birchas Kriyas Shema, says the Marshal in Siman Samach Daled, that it's not allowed to make a special play of it. And this custom of standing up, it says in Parshas Yisro, Vaya'amdu Merochok, Vayisyatzvu, and they stood, the Sachtisar, they stood at the foot of the mountain. So this is discussed by Rav Menashe Klein in his Mishnah Halachas, in Chelek Aleph Kuf Yud Ches. He says, do we stick to the old custom or don't we? He asks, is this called a minag Yisrael Tarahi, or where we said a minag can be oker a halacha, or do we discontinue? And there's the Shalmei Chagigo, he talks about Rav Yaakov Al-Ghazi Zatzal, who says, really, we were worried about Tarumas HaMimim, the meaning of the Abikosim, and he says they don't really exist anymore. The original Abikosim, who said the Ten Commandments don't exist, he, in his view, they don't exist anymore. Although, as I said before, I've met people who say, oh, I believe in the Ten Commandments. And there is a question asked on this Shalmei Chagigo. The Bechor Shar asks this question. He says, if you say that these minim don't exist anymore, and therefore we're not worried about Tarumas HaMinim, yeah, but surely you're going to create new minim if you give special attention to the Aseres HaDibros. By giving that attention to the Ten Commandments as being specially important, you are creating new ideas in youngsters that they think this is more important than the rest of the Torah. Comes along the Chidor, Rav Azulei, and he says in his Sefer Tuv Ayin, in Siman Yud Aleph, a completely new perspective on the subject. He says, look, when we do Kriyas HaTorah, we're reading the whole Torah, we read a portion each week, over 54, whatever, parshias, and it's something which is part of reading of the Torah. And we do treat the whole Torah with equal importance. And it is true that the Aseres HaDibros are the basics of Yiddishkeit, in that we draw from them the other mitzvahs as well. And at Mamad HaSinai, which is the greatest event in all history, people were trembling, they were standing there in awe and in reverence, and therefore it is only befitting that we give some special tribute to that occasion. I mean, we often think that the greatest events in history are like Kriyas Yam Suf, the crossing of the sea, the amazing miracles which Hashem did in the coming out of Egypt. And when we got to Yam Suf and to split the sea, I mean, that was really against the laws of nature completely. But Rabbi Yosef Albo writes in his Sefer Yekarim, he says, the greatest event of all, however, was Mamad HaSinai. The Rambam says this as well. However great we treat the miracles of the coming out of Egypt, and we got Seder to prove that, nevertheless, Mamad HaSinai was even greater. That what was seen and witnessed then was just overpowering. He goes a step further, Rabbi Chidor said. He says, He says, it's wrong to sit while other people are standing. I have sometimes been in shuls where I've seen certain rabbonim sitting down, dafka, to try and teach everybody that it's wrong to stand up for the Aser Sedibros. In the view of the Chidot, that's wrong. If other people are standing while you are sitting, then there's another din, which we learn out from Gemara Megillah and Chafbeis, that Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur, you don't do anything different to what the Tzibur is doing. Even if what you think that what the Tzibur is doing is wrong, that's not the point. The Tzibur is doing something collectively. It's not for you to come along and say, I'm doing differently. If you really don't like it, go daven somewhere else. But Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur is also brought in Hilchos Derech Eretz, and there in Siman Zayin, which says you are not allowed to sit when other people stand. Once I had a non-Jewish colleague who was invited to some civic service in a synagogue, and he was all nervous as to know what to do and how to behave. So I said to him, don't worry, just sit down when everybody sits down, and just stand up when everyone stands up, and you can't go wrong. But Rav Avadia Yosef, who insists that you sit down during the Aser Sedibros, he has a veiled criticism of the Chidah, and he says, I don't think the Chidah was aware of the Rambam. But that's a shuv of the Rambam. It was not part of Mishnah Torah. It was in his shuvahs, which were in handwritten manuscripts, which were discovered much later and publicized much later, apparently only printed in the last 100 years or so. So he is of the view that had the Chidah known about the Psak of the Rambam, maybe he would have said differently. There is a sefer called the Minhag Chidah, which is written by Rav Amar, who talks about the customs of the Chidah, and he is even of the view that we are wrongly attributing this teshuva to the Rambam. That maybe it wasn't really the Rambam who wrote this, but it was somebody else. But we have the tradition that this manuscript was from the Rambam. So that's the question. Rav Klein asks another halachic question which comes out from all this. Do we ignore Acharonim if they were not aware of the Rishonim? Because you've got Rishonim who you have to follow more than the Acharonim, because they came first. The Acharonim came later. So the Chidah is an Acharon. The Rambam was a Rishon. So do we ignore Acharonim if they were not aware of the Rishonim? He says, well, there's such a long custom. The custom of standing up for the Aser Sedibros took place in Bavel. And since it took place in Bavel, I mean, we know how long ago that was. And we got this idea we discussed about where Minag can set aside the halacha. So Rav Menashe Klein says it's definitely all right that we do stand up, even if the Chidah did not know about the Rambam. Rav Shalom Mashash, who wrote the Sefer Shemesh U'Mogein, Siman Nun Zayin, discusses this and says it's been a long-standing custom to stand up for the Aser Sedibros, both amongst Ashkenazim and amongst the Sfadim, and he says not only should we tolerate such a custom, but we should strengthen it. He says, we are reenacting Mamad Har Sinai, standing on that awful, not meaning bad, but awful, full of awe day on Shavuos, or was the Mad Matanta Rosein, or whenever it was. There was thunder, there was lightning, and we have this awe and this reverence, and therefore we should carry it on. We don't care about the minim. Who cares about what the Abakosim think? Tzadikim yel chuvom ufoshim yichoshluvom, says the Pasuk. The Tzadikim will go on the right way, and the sinners, they'll find an excuse forever they want if they want to find a way of criticizing. Let us relive Har Sinai. Let us feel as though Mamad Har Sinai is taking place now as we enter Shavuos, and it's the greatest event in all history. And just like we stand up for Mamad Har Sinai for the Aser Sedibros, so we stand up for the Shira in Parshas Shalach, or Shemishel Pesach, because this was such a great event affecting our emunah. This was what to teach us our fundamental faith in our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And by seeing it, we knew it. As we say in the Oleinu, Ve'yodato Hayom V'Hashem Esol Abavecho. Emunah isn't just something where people say, oh, I believe. It's based on knowledge. It's based on testimony, on what we witnessed. And the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in Chelek Dalad in Siman Chaf Beis, he says, since we stand up not only for the Aseres Hadibros, but we stand for the Shira as well, we stand up when we say Chazak. So we're not really singling out one particular item from the Chumash in any case. But nevertheless, there are some poskim who say stand for other bits as well. Rav Sternberg writes in his Moedim Uzmanim that it's correct to stand up a bit earlier. Then Chelek Aleph Kuf Mem Dalet, he says, if you can stand up for a bit more than just the Aseret Dibros from the beginning of the parsha. And last week I was in Gateshead and I met Yaakov Chaim Hefner, and he asked me what my next topic is for the bagel breakfast share, and I told him, and he said, I remember that the last Shabbos that Rav Kuf Zatzal was in shul, he was frail and he wasn't able to come so often, but he came for a bar mitzvah, family love it, which was on a Parshas Yisro, and he said, I remember that Rav Kuf, although he was frail, he stood up not only for the Aseret Dibros but for the Parshas beforehand as well. Well, that's a source I can quote, but we've got the other sources to say it's alright. And of course we're singing the Tamo Elyon. We said at the very beginning that there's a special niggun we're singing when we do the Aseret Dibros, to give it added prominence that it's not just Pesukim but it's Dibros. And this Tamo Elyon we always do on Shavuos, whichever community it is. Some communities do Tamo Tachton for Yisrael voice Chanon, but Shavuos, everybody agrees it's Tamo Elyon, because we're reenacting Mamad Har Sinai. We're not just reading Pesukim from the Sefer Torah. But the sixth of Rav Kahana writes on Bachodesh HaShlishi, which is Ravi in Yisro, he says, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael. The Rokeach brings this down. Hashem said to Am Yisrael, when you read the Aseret HaDibros from the Sefer Torah, Male Ani Aleichem, I regard it Ki'ilu Atem Omdim Lifnei Har Sinai, as if you are standing before me at Har Sinai, Umekablin Es HaTorah, and you are actually receiving the Torah. That we are reliving it now. We want to discuss the idea of the date of the Torah. Always has today's date on it. It is now. It's relevant to today. And that's why you sometimes get the expression Ad Hayom, until today. But this minag is to exemplify and show the importance of Mamad Hasina, as if we are there at that moment, just like we said in the Haggadah of Chayv Adam Liris Esatzmo Gidu Yotzma Mitzrayim. A person should regard himself as though he just now came out from Egypt. And the Rambam changes that to Laharo Esatzmo, to show himself. So also with now Mamad Har Sinai, we are accepting the Torah, we're receiving the Torah every single day of our lives. So when we stand up on Shavuos and hear the Aseret HaDibros, that is the reliving, in the words of the Pesik de Rav Kahana, Mamad Har Sinai. So it's not only Shavuos, but every single day that we that we receive the Torah. And we spoke about the importance of Minhag, and I once heard from a Dayan, Rav Naftal, in his Chorei Levracha, who said that what is the idea of Minhag? The Rambam stresses the importance of Minhag Yisrael in Hilchos Mamrim, how we should not look down upon the concept of customs. He said, when we're practicing a Minhag Yisrael, it's not just an idea of Neder, like we said before. When we're practicing a Minhag Yisrael, it's to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if we're just keeping the mitzvah, saying, all right, I do this one, I do that one, and it's a tick-box exercise, I'm doing my duties, fine. But when we're doing Minhogim, we're accepting something upon ourselves which the Torah does not specify. That shows that we want to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by practicing these customs. And with that, we can enter Shavuos with this great spirit of feeling greater Dveikus and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wish you all a very happy Chag Sameach.